Hello, Gemini. Eric Francis here, your friendly neighborhood astrologer. It's about 11 in the morning on May 27th, Monday, Memorial Day. And I'm here with a follow-up to your reading that came out, I believe, earlier this week, right around the time of the Sagittarius full moon on the 23rd, which feels like it was 5 minutes ago. But now the moon's getting ready to enter Aquarius, so it was most of a week ago. And I got a letter from someone. Where was she? Maybe New Zealand or somewhere, and said, I didn't understand your reading at all. I couldn't remember one thing that you said. I thought, uh-oh, maybe I was having an off day. And then that's possible. And I only heard one comment. And then I considered the astrology and how I was handling it, and I have a different theory, which is that the whole reading focused on background issues, matters of the background, as in figure ground. I do a lot of this with both my astrology and with media studies. Astrology itself is something coming from the deep background, and unless you look and you see the full moon rising over a bridge and you say, wow, that's the full moon. Most people don't think, what sign is the full moon in? Oh, it's the middle of the summer. The full moon must be in Capricorn. No. What I've been considering, the main two influences in the Gemini Studio reading for 24-25 were Pluto in Aquarius and Sedna in Gemini. And these are matters that affect a vast sweeping environment. They are influences coming from the ground as if they're steaming up like from a hot parking lot after a rainstorm. They do not usually have manifestations as some form of a figure. Now, astrology has this, as I mentioned, and then I manifest as the figure, as the astrologer, reading what's going on in the background. But generally, background influences only show up at very pivotal moments. For example, the Occupy movement, where Pluto and Uranus got together and boom, it erupted like it always erupts with Pluto and Uranus together. So I want to go over a little bit of that and see if I can bring the expression more into the foreground, the symbols of the chart into the foreground, the main one of which, the main foreground figure, the main thing that's showing up as, this is real, this is now, is something happening, what happened overnight, which is that Jupiter entered Gemini. Now, Jupiter joins Venus and the Sun in Gemini, but they come through town every year. Jupiter comes through town every 12 years. And I will admit to being a little reluctant when I see really glorious astrology. I've learned from all these decades of writing horoscope columns that sometimes when the astrology looks like it's at its very best, there are going to be people who are not having that kind of experience or having a distinctly opposite experience, as if there's some kind of reversal effect. And so I've learned early on to temper what I say when the astrology looks just incredible, because this is going to be someone out there who's not going to have such a great year or something like this. And there are people who are more or less sensitive. So part of my reluctance to kind of go full bore and say, isn't this incredible? Your solar return chart, first of all, has this bursting 12th house of all potential. That's Taurus. And then as your birth season develops, each week goes by, each day goes by, something new enters Gemini, in particularly Venus, Jupiter, and Mercury. Giving you energy and substance and the ability to go any way you want or forward in all directions to make progress in many different areas of your life simultaneously. But the key to this is understanding your circumstances, your relationship to the environment of the world around you. That's your circumstances. It's how you relate to your environment, whatever the environment's delivering. And I'm not talking about the immediate environment of whatever has to happen with the kids or the dog's got to go in for grooming or something like this, bills to pay, whatever. But rather, noticing something about the big, wide world of the environment around you and how that is shaping you and the occasions that you see to be able to do something different, to do something new. Jupiter, okay, depending on how old you are, it's come back a few times, but still, these are big years when Jupiter shows up. You have many distinct advantages. One time when Jupiter was in my ascendant, I was going to Burning Man. And to get to Burning Man, you pass through Reno. To pass through Reno, you pass through a gambling city in Nevada. And I knew not to gamble before Burning Man. I'm not really a gambler. Maybe I've bought 10 lottery tickets my entire life, if that many. But I knew to gamble when I got back, and I knew I was going to win. And in one day, I hit two jackpots. Yes, had I gambled more, I would have had a lot of money. But on one, I made a penny bet and won $10. Can you imagine the odds of a penny bet getting back $10? If I had bet a buck, I don't know how many thousands of penny dollars that would have been. And then I bet a quarter and got $2,500 and bought my girlfriend art supplies and bought a new computer for Planet Waves. So Jupiter in your sign, especially added to Venus, especially added to the Sun, with Mercury forthcoming, it's going to take a little while for Mercury to get there. And then we add that to Sedna, this change that is never happened before to anyone any time since astrology's ever been invented. Sedna discovered 2003, 11,400-year orbit. There were still glaciers covering big parts of North America 11,400 years ago. How do you describe that? So your potential, the potential of all of this material, psychic substance, physical substance, feelings, sensations, opportunities, arriving in Gemini, described by Gemini being you, in the game of astrology, described by all of these planets, added to which is a newly discovered Centaur planet comet that is also arrived in Gemini with Jupiter and Sedna. All three are conjunct today, May 29th, May 27th, Monday, Memorial Day. Let me get the name of that comet, Centaur. Okay, thanks to Kirsty Melto, rarely mentioned Planet Waves editor, the comet 39P, also known as Centaur Oterma. Many centaurs were also comets. In the mix today, conjunct Sedna and Jupiter. So it's hard to describe all of this. It's hard to say, that's what that means. there you go. There, you're going to win the lottery. And I wish it were that simple. But it's not. And so, even though there are a lot of people who are going to just experience that these next four seasons is kind of being like the last four seasons. The sensitive among you, those who have your ear to the ground, those who are concerned with the wider movements of society, are likely to have a very unusual time ahead, not just four seasons, but much longer, because there is something opening up. There is a change in the psychic weather like nothing we've ever experienced. And the combination of factors adds up to say, like nothing we've ever experienced. We meaning since, you know, hunting gathering times, since glaciers. Okay, so we're talking about something deep and invisible, and that I would say moves out onto the spectrum of that which is spiritual. And you experience spiritual in a way, my view, Gemini, the concept, the archetype, not necessarily you, the person, but maybe true. Everyone has their style of how and what they think Prime Creator is and what they think, how they think it manifests on Earth. And in my readings of the Gemini charts all these years, the solar charts for Gemini, remember the solar chart is the chart of the sign, not your personal chart. The concept of spiritual manifests as human, social. So if you're Cancer rising, Cancer sun, you might think of spiritual as oceanic, and you might feel near God when you're standing on a cliff overlooking the ocean. And if you're Aries rising, you might think, or Aries sun, you might think of spiritual as being some kind of cosmic force that you're reminded of when you look at the night sky and see the galactic center, and you realize that there has to be something greater than what we are, and you see the galaxy streaking across the sky as a manifestation of God, and you feel that. I could go through all the other signs and talk about this. For Gemini, the sense of the presence of Prime Creator, the presence of Spirit, the presence of God is felt by you as people. The human family is the most vivid reflection of divinity. This is described by Aquarius in your ninth house. And this whole property is so important to Gemini that there is no separating the two concepts. And in fact, it redoubles when we go back a couple of signs and we go ahead a couple of signs and consider what's going on in Aries. So Pluto entering Aquarius is in the process of and going to shift what seems to be this extremely stuck concept of what human consciousness has become. And human consciousness has become this stuck concept under the overexposure to digital conditions, which have served to calcify thought and calcify social experience to the point where, for many people, it is verging on impossible to have a social experience, anything like they had at any time previous in their life. And they have no interest in doing this on Instagram. It is completely ridiculous. There are a lot of people like me who get slightly nauseous at the word Instagram. So for you, this is about a translation of, it's a shift in the total social environment. Of course, this includes the digital environment, but it must cascade to the physical environment, and it will if that's where you look for it, if that's where you seek your sense of understanding, you will find it in the physical environment. But it is going to take a pioneering spirit, is going to take going places where you are not sure what you're going to find, going places that you're not sure are friendly, and essentially asserting yourself in those environments using your considerable skills of interpersonal communication. And this is nothing less than your spiritual path. Whatever other form it takes, if it doesn't manifest among people, it's not real to you. Now, the internet, digital consciousness, this infiltration of digital into humanity has a second zone of action. One is Aquarius, one is Aries. It happens that Aquarius is the 11th sign, which makes it the 11th sign, meaning it's going to have some correspondence to the 11th house, not total, but there's a translation of light to the 11th house, and you have Aries in the 11th house. So you have both the 11th sign and the 11th house fully activated. Why is the 11th house activated? Because Aries is there, and there has been a powering up of Aries like we've never seen in our lifetimes. Maybe if you go back to 1971, there's something similar. But the combination of Chiron, Eris, Mars, and the total solar eclipse of 4-8 mean that whatever this point area in your chart is about is completely turned on. And it may be turned on with the sensation of some conflict. It may be turned on with a sensation of some unfamiliarity. There may be a kind of burning quality that is often there, but now when you add the presence of the eclipse, which is like having a canyon opened up in the 11th house where other things can enter, plus Mars activating the eclipse point, that was over the Memorial Day weekend, plus Mars activating Chiron over the next week, then Eris. This is a lot of change, and it's not that easy to describe, because it's not that easy. While I can see certain things about you from your solar chart, and I can see certain things about your social environment, it becomes difficult to describe the further we get from you. And that, and your social environment is something that you directly experience. What's going on? So I'm suggesting here that between these two things, there is a kind of a seismic shift happening in all that you consider to be A, social, B, spiritual, and C, how you experience yourself, who you are, this person that you are. Now, your whole chart is about the person that you are, regardless of the environment into which that extends. Those are the 12 houses. Your sense of your entire being, your meaning, your purpose, your existence is in a state of flux and reformation. And fortunately, at that time, when there's all of this rebuilding happening, you are being delivered resources. And those resources are our comet friend. I can never remember the name of this comet. It is so bizarre. Hold on. Let's go right to here. This is... Hold on. Oterma. This may have to do with the fact that there is no centaur named Oterma that I know of, but I can verify that. And then they stick this comet identifying number in front of it, which is 39P Oterma. Chiron has one of those too. But we have that resource added to Sedna, which is never before, which is Jupiter amplifying and magnifying the whole thing that we've never seen before. We're getting a look at a whole new thing. Plus Venus, plus Mercury coming. How do you read this? There's no easy way to read this. It's like, well, you've been delivered all, you know, you've got like, you know, a ton of bricks, a ton of mortar, plywood. You've got every color paint ever made. You've got We've built you a shed also to keep all your tools and your supplies in. But you're the one with the plans. Oh, you mean you don't have an architect or an engineer to draw your plans up? Oh, you better go find one. It's you. Okay, one last thought. in this discussion that is so difficult to pin down, here's one more thing that may be difficult to pin down. The 10th house in astrology is the house of praxis, action. Contemporary astrology has it wrong when it says this is purely about fame and reputation, what you want to be known for. I have always lived the 10th house as the house of action. In my quadrant chart, not my whole sign houses chart, but my quadrant chart, I have Pisces on the 10th. So I know what it feels like to have Pisces on the 10th, and thank God I have planets there. Because it would be difficult for me to define myself and take action, I think, without those particular planets that I have there. So and I don't know what you have in Pisces. This is part of the mystery of reading the solar chart. But in the solar chart, in Pisces, your house of action, your house of praxis, yes, and reputation and what you're known for, but mostly about what you do, the action that you take, you have had Neptune there since 2011. So that is so long, you probably forgot that it happened. And in the true style of Neptune, it is likely to have just disappeared into the kind of background of your existence. But it has made it difficult to know the correct action to take. It is difficult to take the correct action under the influence of Neptune. You've got to go somewhere else for information about the correct action. Even speaking without astrology, if all you have is a nebulous goal or nebulous concept of the action to take, it's difficult to act on that in a way that's accurate and true to what you want. So you've got to look elsewhere. Some other form of circumstance, necessity guiding you, something like this. All right. So finally, after all these years of Neptune in Pisces, making it very difficult to know the right thing and to see the right options for you, Saturn comes along last year and shows up. It's like, cleanup time. Now we're going to have real goals. Now it's time to do exactly the thing that you plan to do. Oh, wait, you forgot what that was? Or you've been experimenting so much, you're not sure if the experiment succeeded or failed? Or you've totally been trusting your intuition, you haven't needed any real instruction or guidance, and you've got it right, you're having fun, you're doing something that you think is interesting. Or you're doing what you think is interesting and engaging, but you're not sure it's the right thing because where's this all going anyway? Whichever one of those circumstances fits you, Saturn is providing a clarifying agent, and it is here to teach you to sort out your priorities and to make some real decisions. And there is definitely a translation process when you add Saturn to the territory of Pisces. Because when you have Saturn in any way mixed with Pisces or Neptune, you are in a situation where there must be a new substance created. It is alchemy. It is synthesis. And so this too is like, okay, what exactly? What exactly am I supposed to do with that? So, I'm like right in this feeling of like, okay, what is this chart really about? And usually I drive the plot of the chart, the reading with like a central organizing principle that is central. You can like look at it, and it's like the man at Burning Man, or it's like the arch in Washington Square Park, or something like this. This is not so easy with these aspects, except to say that you are in a rapidly changing environment. You are rapidly changing. You are being given an opportunity to completely reassess and reevaluate your goals. And this is all happening now. And besides that, I'm not sure what to say about how exactly to handle this, except to say, first and foremost, notice what's happening within you. Second, notice what's happening in any social environment that you enter. Anything, anywhere, whether it's a party or whether it's the internet or whether it's some kind of a festival or public event, whether it's a family gathering of some kind, whether it's a gathering of friends of some kind, any organizational affiliation you have, most of them are on the internet now. It sucks. But still, all potential is open. All potential is open. What matters, what makes the difference of what potential you get, is what you want and what you focus on. There can be no other determining factor unless we go to fate. But fate, as your Gemini cousin Bob Dylan said, fate is a calling. Fate is a thing you know. Fate is not just something that happens to you. He explains this beautifully in a 60 Minutes interview from 20 years ago. Fate is a calling. And so listen for your calling. You really are in the kind of reality field of all worlds. And you may feel enormous potential. My proposal is, when there is the sensation of enormous potential and where anything is possible, pick something modest, seemingly small, that you like or that you're drawn to, only because you like it or you're drawn to it. And do that and see what happens. And you can always try something else. But as you experiment, you're going to find that some of these experiments really work. Maybe one of them really works. And by working, I mean mainly that it engages you and allows a certain quality of creativity to come through you, which you could not get any other way except through actually engaging in an activity. And that's the part of this. This is really all about you. This is, though you are, you know, you're being shaped and shaping both your social environments, there's part of this that's just purely about your experience. And the responses of others don't matter. The expectations of others don't matter. All that matters is how you feel about what you're doing. And so the question is, if you have all the possibilities open, all of a sudden, what do you do? Do you do what you love? Do you do what you want? Do you do what you think you should do? Do you do what you recognize as necessary? And in what combination? So I hope that has been clarifying. To add to either the clarity or the confusion, I'm going to put the written reading for somewhere in between right below this player. In case you're looking for a written structured interpretation, and it is sometimes easier to give the sensation of something being structured in writing, because writing has to follow grammar and syntax and logic and paragraphs and so forth. So that is there, and happy to discuss any of this with you, efc@planetwaves.net. If I don't write right back, write to me again. You can copy cs@planetwaves.net. Eli will see it and forward it to me also. I never ignore emails. Sometimes I don't see them, though. Again, efc@planetwaves.net or cs@planetwaves.net, which reaches Eli. Thank you again for your business and your trust. Have a happy birthday here early in your birthday season as all of these planets arrive, including Oterma, not mentioned anywhere but Planet Waves. Sedna, Jupiter, Venus, Mercury. My God. What choices? All right. Lots of love. And bye for now.